Morning's reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let me tell you about Joe. Joe had not the best start in life. In fact, he came from what you might consider a very dysfunctional family. His father had run away from home after cheating his father out of his money and falling out with his brother, who threatened to kill him if he ever saw him again. When he ran away, he managed along the way to acquire a good business, two wives and two mistresses. And at one point in his life, Joe had one dad, four mothers, 11 brothers and one sister. As he approached puberty and adolescence, his mother died. And he entered that time of life where he became what is known as a difficult young man. He was a bit lazy, didn't do much work, told tales, and boasted to his family and friends about how when he grew up he was going to be famous. His brothers got rather fed up with this and kidnapped him and got him away to another country where they hoped they would never ever see him again. At this point things weren't too bad, apart from the fact that he was a long way from home. But he worked for a good boss who decided that Joe was a good worker and gave him responsibilities. Just as he thought things were going reasonably well, the boss's wife took a fancy to him and did all she could to charm him into her bed. But Joe, being a good, upright and moral young man, decided that he wasn't going to join in her games. And so she told lies, and he ended up in prison. In prison, things were not good, but not as bad as they might have been, because he became a trustee. Made some good friends who promised that when they got out, they would remember him and help him get free. One of them got killed, and the other one forgot. And it was a few more years until his mystic abilities managed to get him free from prison and into the king's throne room, where he got a fantastic job, a brilliant wife, and two children. Then there was the famine. But in a way, this was good, because he managed to be reunited with his family, and as you might say, From then on, it seemed that everyone lived happily ever after. It's not an episode of one of the soaps that we might watch. It's not even in one of those magazines that you pick up. It's the story of Joseph in Genesis. You know, Joseph, by and large, was a pretty good person. He's the sort of person that we would look up to. He's done well in life. He's got a good job. He stood up for what was right. But again and again, bad things happen to him. We're asking the question this morning, why do bad things happen to good people? And as I said in our prayer, maybe you're asking that question for yourself or somebody that you know at the moment. What can we learn from the story of Joseph that might help us to answer that question? And as I said just now, I don't want any of this to come over as being knowing all the answers, because I don't. But just a few ideas that came to me as I thought of this story of Joseph. Why did so many bad things happen to him? Well, first of all, I thought that Joseph was affected by what had happened in the past. His past was flawed. It was nothing to do with him. What had gone on before he was born. He was born into a family that was messed up by jealousy, by favoritism, trickery, hatred. There were 4 wives, 13 children. It all got a bit too busy and a bit complicated. And what had happened beforehand affected Joseph's life. You know, the phrase, old sins have long shadows. And the sins of one generation, unfortunately, affect the next. Joe's life was affected by what other people had done before he was even born. And then secondly, his life was affected by his own flawed character. You know, none of us are as good as we think, or might like to think. You know, Joe was sometimes the cause of his own problems. No one is totally good. And particularly as a young boy, Joseph was proud, boastful, a teller of tales, not the sort of person that many people like. And because of this, his brothers, their jealousy turned into hatred. Sometimes because of foolish decisions we make, because of wrong decisions that we make, there are unwanted consequences. Then thirdly, he was surrounded by flawed people. He had a father who, for all sorts of reasons, made him a favorite. You know, he was his father's favorite because he was the son of his favorite wife. He was the son that he'd waited years and years for. And then the wife that he really loved died, and so he put even more attention onto this one son and gave him the coat of many colors with the long sleeves that meant he couldn't do any work. And so he had a foolish father. He had brothers who allowed what would probably be quite normal sort of annoyance that the things that he was doing and saying turned not into just jealousy, but into hatred that made them want to, first of all, kill him, that made them sell him into slavery and go home and tell Dad that he'd been eaten by a wild animal. He had a brother called Reuben who had wanted to go back and help him, but he'd left it too late. There was a woman who couldn't get her own way and so told lies about him. There was a butler who promised to help and do something, but was fallible and forgot. He was surrounded by fallible people who did things deliberately that were wrong, made mistakes, and forgot to do the things that they promised. Our world is full of such people. and we are some of them. And then this one is the one that worries me more than any of the others. Bad things happen to Joseph because he was good. Bad things happen to Joseph because he was good. If he had said when Potiphar's wife came in to him, come on then, up to the bedroom, and he'd say, yes please, and gone off with her, he wouldn't have ended up in prison. But because he was upright and feared the Lord and did the thing that was good, he ended up in prison. And you know, the more I read the Bible, and the more I read magazines, Christian magazines, and hear the news, it strikes me that it's the good people that get the bad things happening to them. If you read the scriptures, it seems every time someone does something good, there's problems. Peter and John heal a lame man. What happens? They get carted off to prison. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. What happens? People plot to kill him. Stephen does a wonderful sermon. What happens? He gets stoned to death. Again and again and again, people who stand up for what is right seem to suffer. I find that slightly worrying. Because I know if I'm going to stand up for what's good and what's right, maybe I might run into problems too. And then Joseph lived in a fallen world. He lived in a world where infertility led to strife, disappointment, and arguments in his family. Where early death robbed him of his mother. Where there was a famine in the land that caused difficulty and distress for all around. Like us, Joseph lived in a broken, sinful, and suffering world. That may answer some of our questions. It may not. We suffer, even if we're good people, maybe because of the past, maybe because of ourselves, certainly because of other people, sometimes because we stand up for what's right, and always because we live in a fallen world. But the Bible tells us that in all these things, the Lord was with Joseph. And he blessed him and all those that he met. 6 times in just a couple of chapters we read, the Lord was with Joseph. Bad times are not a sign that God has gone away from us. Sometimes God has to discipline us, yes. But we cannot assume just because something bad is happening that God is angry with us, that God has left us. The Lord blessed Joseph and those who he was with. And later on, when he met his brothers again, he said to them, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many souls. We had in our reading that God works things out for good for those who love God. He will never leave us or forsake us. And no matter what we go through, he will be there with us and work it out for good, for us, for others, and for his glory. Let's move into the New Testament. And we'll meet the only truly good person who ever lived. We read that he was spotless, undefiled, perfect. Never had a bad thought, never did a bad deed, never left anything undone, made any mistakes or forgot to keep any of his promises. If he was that good, surely he had the most wonderful life that anyone ever lived. But we're told that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was a refugee of questionable parentage. He was so poor that he had to borrow a penny. He was homeless. He was despised, rejected, regarded as mad by his family, betrayed, left friendless, beaten, mocked, condemned, crucified though innocent, and punished for the sins of the world.
Why do bad things happen to good people? Why did so many bad things happen to the best person that ever lived and ever will? Again, what was meant for evil was used by God for good. The forgiveness of our sins and the saving of our souls. And Jesus knows from his own experience what it is to live in a fallen, fallible world. And so he can sympathize with us in our weaknesses and give us comfort that no one else can. How did Jesus deal with all the bad things in his life? And how can we learn from him? First of all, don't deny that this world is a world of trouble. Jesus said to his disciples, "In this world, you will have trouble." That's not a promise that most of us put up on our walls, but it's there. In this world, you will have trouble. But he goes on to say, "I have overcome the world." But we shouldn't be surprised that this world is a world of trouble. And when we have trouble, it shouldn't come as a shock. Now, I'm not saying we should all go around waiting for trouble to happen. You know, like some spiritual Eeyore, you know, "Oh, I knew it was going to happen. You know, oh, nothing good ever happens to me and it's always bad." We don't want to be like that, but this is a world where good and bad exist together. And so we shouldn't be surprised when trouble comes. Don't go looking for it. It will find us. And then Jesus said, you will have trouble. But what did Jesus do? He cried out to God. He cried out to God in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. God doesn't mind if we come to him and we cry and we shout. You know, sometimes we get angry at God, don't we? Why are you allowing this? What's going on here? Why aren't you stopping it? Jesus went to his Father in prayer with loud cries and tears. And Jesus understood what was going on. Jesus knew the end from the beginning. We often don't, do we? If Jesus could go to his Father and cry and shout, so can we. Don't be afraid to tell God exactly how you feel. He knows anyway. So you might as well vocalize it. Our Lord did. And then he looked forward to eternity. He looked forward to eternity. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus went through those bad times, those terrible times in his life, knowing that one day he would have the joy of being back in heaven and taking all those who love him to be with him. Paul wrote that the things that we suffer in this life are nothing in comparison with heaven. Now, I want to be careful what I say here. That doesn't mean that when you go and visit someone that is ill, you say, well, it doesn't matter, because when you get to heaven, you'll forget about it, because it's so much better. That's not what it means. When someone is ill or going through a difficult time here, we comfort and strengthen and help all that we can. But we still say, heaven will be so much better. And in then, there, you will forget what has happened. And everything will go into insignificance in comparison to being in heaven. So Jesus says, you will have trouble. But when you do, you can cry out to God and talk to him about it. Look forward to heaven. And then, He entrusted himself to God. He entrusted himself to his heavenly Father. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And at his death, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We can never fully answer the question that we've asked this morning. But we can know that God knows and understands, that God cares, that God is waiting to welcome us to a new heaven and a new earth where there is no pain and suffering, that nothing can separate us from his love. He will always be there with us to care and to help in the most difficult of our situations. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And as they come, we're going to pray and we're going to sing a song that reminds us that God is here, that we can know him, that he can heal us physically, emotionally and spiritually, and that we can put our trust in him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have promised never to leave us or to forsake us, that your spirit lives in us to give us strength and power. And so we pray that whether this week is good or bad or a mixture of the two, that we will know your presence and your help, that we will live for you, put our trust in you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. And we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.